All right, we're at 2 o'clock. I think we'll begin. First of all, thanks everyone, excuse me, for coming to our Zoom call today. We've got a great panel today on messaging, so it should be very exciting. Just a little background, you know, our hopes were to get the community together, the cross-country community together, to discuss how we are reacting to the COVID-19 virus. And so these Zoom calls have been a great opportunity to speak with many of our members and try and create a good roadmap for our group going forward. Format of the call is a panelist discussion for the most part. We've got four panelists. I ask you to keep your mic muted if you are not a panelist. There is a chat function at the bottom, so feel free to use that if you have a question. We do hope to get into a bit of a discussion towards the end. We'll see how that goes.
He's talking, but I can't hear him now.
We are live, so please excuse any dogs or children. I don't have either of those here, so I think I'm good. And, you know, with respect to COVID and what we're experiencing now, through many of the conversations that we've been having, I think most of us in the industry feel that there is a huge opportunity for growth this year. And I think that is what we're trying to foster at this point, look at how we can prepare ourselves for not only business as usual from last year, but an uptick this year. So as we go through all of the calls and everything that we've been talking about, think of not operating at a percentage of your existing business, but operating at 120, 130% above the business that you've had, because we do feel that there's a huge opportunity here. So with that in mind, let me introduce our panelists for today. We've got Christy Hicks, Executive Director from Crested Butte Nordic in Colorado. We have Annalise Bergen, Director of Digital Marketing and Communications from Ski, Utah. We have Shannon Dunphy-Ball, Marketing and Communications Manager from Ski, New Hampshire. And we have Holly Johnson, Partner and Media Specialist of Imagica from Florida and Colorado. So we have a great panel today. Looking forward to getting right into this. I'm going to start with Christy. And Christy, certainly you and I and a lot of our, we've had a lot of conversations. And interestingly enough, this spring when COVID hit Crested Butte and it hit hard, you were able to convince your town government that your cross-country ski center was an essential business. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah, we, you know, we had a sizable outbreak here in Crested Butte and we're on total lockdown here. And so we just developed a plan where our cat drivers could, they were each assigned to their own cat and they showed up to work alone and they drove the cat alone and they were able to, you know, by not changing equipment, we were able to receive approval to keep grooming that way. They actually classified us as a utility so that we were an essential service. And we're planning on applying ahead of time for the same or just an extension of that same designation. So should we go backwards into a lockdown that we could continue to groom trails. And because we were the only game in town at that point, the local municipal governments have been extremely supportive and so far have been reaching out to make sure that we have all the support we need to be here for this coming winter. So I don't foresee any issue there. The other thing we were able to do too is they allowed us to do curbside delivery for our rentals. And so we very quickly adapted our front desk and rental center procedure so that we could basically deliver equipment outside we just put someone's name on it. We're working on a more streamlined system this year, but they also gave us permission to have, they actually let us have three people in the building at that point, which was exceeding, you know, that was again part of the essential service thing so that we could have rental curbside delivery available. So it was really useful or helpful to have that county support, and we're anticipating having or needing and obtaining that same support before the snow flies this year.
Christy, you mentioned that you had to apply for that. What was that process like?
At that point, they didn't have a process. So I just emailed the public health director and asked for an exception. And she said, yeah, she actually got back to me within minutes because at that point we had been moving towards a lockdown. And so the ski area had closed and, they had gone down to groups of 10. And then when it got down to a complete lockdown, I had to ask for a variance. And so she got back to me immediately and was like, yes, you guys are good. I'm classifying you as a utility. You can keep operating as needed. So that was just an email. Now our county has a whole application process for each different industry. And so we have to go through those steps, I assume. Now.
Interesting. I'm going to move to Annalise now. And Annalise comes from Ski Utah, predominantly Alpine. So interesting perspective I hope that you will bring because of your Alpine background. We keep hearing about COVID exhaustion. People are quote unquote getting tired of it, not that they can do much about it. But my question is, from the conversations you've been having with all of your ski areas in Utah, how much of the ski area messaging should include talking about the virus versus talking about the excitement of their ski area?
Yeah, I think we're all tired of COVID, aren't we? I think we're all exhausted hearing about it. So it's a fluid situation, of course, because as we come closer and closer to the winter, our ski areas are creating a lot of different contingency plans. But what is really important for Ski Utah and our messaging is to make a very clear resource where if someone wants to know what the precautions are, what's being done differently, and what the restrictions are around COVID, they have one specific place where they can go to find all of that, including link throughs to obviously each of our resorts and their precautions. But then when it comes to especially speaking in advertising or speaking on social media, or even in my PR communications as well, it's not a direct focus. Covered into the conversation. For example, we're doing like a 16-page insert into Outside Magazine in lieu of doing our full magazine. There was a small debate over whether or not there should be a full page just addressing COVID and what it would be like skiing in Utah during COVID. We all agreed that was actually probably not a good idea to directly plaster it across one full page. Instead, where it felt necessary to address, it will be integrated into the conversation accordingly. And then, of course, creating a resource online where there is one spot that only talks about COVID, the restrictions, how the ski areas are mitigating all of the different restrictions and dangers, etc. But I think it's hard to imagine, but it will not be like this forever. And if things make a drastic, optimistic change in January or even February, we certainly don't want to be putting out a constant message of all these negative things, because at the end of the day, it is going to be harder to ski. There is going to be limitations. It's just not going to be the same. We don't want to create a message that is a long-lived message that continues on past when necessary, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So most of your ski areas are having some kind of COVID page and then leaving it at that and not going back to it in the rest of their messaging. Is that correct?
Yeah, a lot of them are, pointing everyone from media to guests to one specific page where they can find all of the resources. And then where appropriate, it has to be sprinkled in, like into email communications. I mean, nobody has even specifically spoken yet about what, for example, ski school lessons are going to look like. But when someone goes to sign up for ski school lessons, they're going to see messaging around COVID and how it's different this year for sure. But it's really about picking and choosing where that is. And it's certainly not going to be the forefront message of our advertising and things like that, or social media. The forefront message of that is going to be, it's snowing, come see. We'll figure out the details.
Right. Awesome. Thank you. We'll move to Shannon from Ski, New Hampshire, also has a lot of Alpine background. And Shannon, you and I were talking yesterday, and we've heard for months now that skiing is going to be different next year. We have yet to hear what that actually means. On these calls, we've talked a little bit about that. And I think on the cross country side, it's a little easier. We don't have all of the issues that Alpine has. But knowing that something is going to be different, the experience is going to be different. Can you share with us a strategy for managing the expectations of your skiers? And I'm thinking primarily those that have skied before at least once, so not that never ever, but that person who has an expectation is going to come skiing again. And again, not so much dealing around shuttle buses and chairlifts, but you know, more that would fit kind of the cross country side.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of what Annalise said is going to be true. And the number one way you can manage expectations of your guests is to communicate in all forms you possibly can, that you have people to do that for you and do it as often as possible and be super flexible and be ready to adapt to the ever-changing landscape with that. So similar to what Annalise said, you're going to have to change your messages. There's not just going to be one thing. I understand why Ski Utah wouldn't want to buy one whole page about COVID, because in 2 months, things might be better or worse. So people need to be prepared for that. With Nordic skiing specifically, the number one problem area is going to be your base lodges. So making sure that you have some sort of protocol in place, and you have your staff who know what they need to do. So most importantly, those boots on the ground. So the person who's answering the phone, they need to know what to say. You have to supply them, and you have to update them, and you have to remind them and make sure they're staying true to whatever. If you provide them a script or bullet points, different things like that. Because for the most part, customers want evidence of some sort of safety protocol. So you want to make sure you're putting that throughout, even though it's not sexy. It's not fun to talk about a pandemic, and it's not fun to talk about your limitations, but you need to. And even though most people have a page that talks about COVID, I still think that on your homepage of your website, you need to have something that talks about things are different, things have changed, but we're open and we want you to come. It's awesome. You know, and then here's how you can have a successful visit to our ski area, and then link out to those pages. But you definitely don't want it hidden in your website. You want that front and center. You also don't want to forget the many outlets. So number one tool is your homepage with a link to your COVID protocol page. Number two would be your Google business listing, because at the end of the day, a lot of people literally just have no clue what your hours are. Maybe they changed, whether or not you're open. And this is super important. You definitely should write this down. But your Google business listing has this new feature. It's called the COVID-19 alert. And that is a place where you can sort of write in a specific, whether it's our lodge procedures have changed, make sure you check out our website, or call first. We now have reservations. So whatever message you want to put in there, that's really COVID specific. And that will be featured right when anyone Googles your resort. So an example for that is Cranmore Mountain Resort has a Google COVID-19 alert right now. So if you just wanted to see an example of a ski area that has that in place at the moment, I recommend Googling them. The other number three is social media accounts. Make sure you have your hours up to date on there, and make sure you're watching people who plan their whole vacation by literally messaging social media pages and asking questions. That's a thing. So you want to make sure you're answering those. And then of course, similar to Annalise, links to any updates, changes on your snow reports, your newsletters and e-blasts. In Nordic skiing specifically, Most people who Nordic ski are really religious about checking the snow conditions before they go because they have to know what wax to bring. So that is a great place where you can sort of give daily updates and different things. But again, I would definitely stress the boots on the ground, especially if you're not putting too much information out there, which is fine. You know, there's not one right way or wrong way. But you want to make sure that your employees have the information they need on the daily to tell your guests.
Awesome. Shannon, I just posted the that piece you sent me. Do you want to speak just briefly to what that is and people can take a look at it? I'll also include a link to this piece on the notes from this call.
Sure. So I took a little time and made a little PDF for you guys that basically just sort of goes through some examples of some websites I've noticed from really expensive builds on websites that show, you know, feature their COVID-19 plans and their clean team to examples of websites that just have like a really, you know, really simple information bar or something just to show you like the wide variety of ideas that you could implement on your own website. If you want to spend loads of money, you can, not so much you can. And then just also some examples of programs and different things in the state of New Hampshire. You definitely would want to check within your own state and your local community to see if any of those similar initiatives are going. Because at the end of the day, I think that's actually one thing I'd like to mention is if you can, we're all from like small mountain towns, right? And we all have local communities and we have people who are freaked out about people coming to our areas in fluxes and droves and numbers. And so making sure you're working with the community to have that unified messaging. So unified messaging with your staff, with your hotel and with your local community or your Alpine sister ski area, whatever it is. Just make sure you have, you know, people can understand what they need to do to have a successful visit at your place.
Awesome. So that link is posted in the chat. And as I said, it'll be on the notes. I'm going to move to Holly now. Holly is a PR specialist. So we brought her in. And certainly I've had the conversation about the perception of cross-country skiing with many of you, and Holly and I spoke earlier about that also. And, you know, as we look at the potential opportunity, well, I guess the opportunity for cross-country now, we really haven't seen an opportunity like this since track skis came out in the 70s, where we are anticipating a pretty big jump. Holly, in looking at that opportunity and this I guess the opportunity to redefine what cross-country skiing is or change the perception, what sort of messaging would you suggest pushing out from the ski area perspective that talks about you know how great cross-country skiing is, not how hard it is?
I think that is a really important point, is that it's really, with all of this kind of COVID, you know, we're over it mentality, is to focus on what you are and what you're not. And I think a lot of it is, you know, from I can't to how can I. So one of the things that, in working on and seeing, we are in a virtual society right now, and a picture speaks 1,000 words and a video speaks about 20,000 words. If you can get a little camera out there showing what it's really like skiing or checking in your skis, I mean, literally going through the process with them, because seeing is believing. You can tell and take out all the ads that you want, but it's still your message and it's not there. So focus on what the benefits are to the consumer, that you're COVID friendly versus, you know, COVID safe or whatever, and make it fun. And, you know, I think we're all kind of over this angst and we don't want to dismiss the relevance of COVID, but people are looking for COVID friendly places and what makes Nordic skiing, your resort, COVID friendly. And again, you know, as Shannon said, the messaging is consistency is super important. So, you know, aligning with your local community and getting them behind you. And a great way to do that is to make the local media your best friend. Invite them out and say, go through a day, go through the check-in process or whatever. And then, you know, one of the things that Reese and I were talking about before, because we had a call before this, was you know, kind of going through, you know, day pass or season pass and the benefits of that. You know, if you just want to come out and try it, it's probably worth a day pass. But if you're going to ski five or six or do the math on it, so start becoming the resource for your consumers. And again, thinking about what you can do to make, to serve them versus what you can do to attract them for your business. And, you know, the two kind of go hand in hand. But when we shift the focus to the benefit of the consumer, then they feel like they're being taken care of. And this is how we're here to help you. And you can show that again through your videos, posts on social media. I mean, you know, your video or your blog or whatever becomes your marketing tool, where you can share it on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, and people can get into some real lifetime experiences. But I also think, again, you know, in my background is in, you know, PR, that the media can be your best friend. So if you have an opportunity to host somebody, and, you know, media don't pay unless it's their policies, but that's a very rare few people. Start locally and expand globally. So make sure that you have like a media day. I mean, they don't care. Bring them out and tell them what's going on at your resort, and that, and you're really super optimistic about the fact that you are super COVID friendly as an outdoor sport. And a lot of people think that, you know, you'll also dispel the myth about the, you know, kind of the cardio junkie, the really extreme Nordic skier. And as I say, and I've worked with a lot of, I've worked with the Colorado Cross Country Ski Association and represented Devil Thumb Ranch for 18 years is, you know, I always say to people, they're like, well, is it hard? And I said, can you walk? And they say, yeah. And I said, then you can cross country ski. And they're like, seriously? So you're also kind of putting out a little challenge there. You're putting yourself on notice. Is it really that easy? But it's like, yes, you have design thing, but you also have poles. And it's really just one foot in front of the other. It's not about skating or going really fast. And it's a great workout. And for the people, if you're trying to fill in midweek time, it's a great way to show tips about, you know, in it. You know, you think running, you can get a great workout in 30 minutes. Try adding your arms and your legs and going out for 30 minutes or an hour, and you're going to start filling in some gaps and perhaps changing people's perception that they need to go to the gym to get their workout. They can actually be outside in a much nicer and more health-inducing, invigorating environmental climate. So play up on what you have to offer and the benefits to the consumer. And I think the negativity will start to shift to what can we do instead of what we can't do.
I think we're seeing that certainly in cycling, hiking, paddling. There are so many people just getting outside. Someone asked me earlier this week, what about the health clubs? Have we gone after them? Do we see an opportunity there? And I think yes, you know, regardless of whether health clubs are open or not, people have now ventured outside. And I think there's a great opportunity for them to venture out this summer. Annalise, I've got a question for you regarding your COVID messaging. As businesses were starting to open, I started to visit a variety of COVID messaging pages on websites. I found that lodging places were talking about how they were increasing their cleaning frequency, and that they were using new products. When I read them, I'm like, this is just very non-detailed. It's like, we're increasing our frequency of our cleaning. Okay, what does that mean? You know, the bathrooms will be taken care of more than they've ever been. Okay, what does that mean? And to me, it didn't, I was like, this doesn't mean much. But how detailed do you think we need to be in, you know, from a cross-country skier perspective in what we're doing other than just ticking off those boxes?
Well, I think Shannon had some great points. I think you need to have it available for those who are looking for the details. And I think you need to be very detailed and you need to be very consistent. Where you're going to create some fear especially is where if you're really vague and if customers are getting inconsistent answers, that's where there's going to be maybe a hesitation to visit. So I think the more details, the better, honestly, especially when someone's planning an alpine vacation, you know, let's say they're coming from across the country, and planning a visit and staying for multiple days and staying in a hotel and then trying to figure out their rentals and things like that. they really want details on how different it's going to be and how safe it's going to be. And I think in a, even in a smaller scale of just a day visit to a cross-country ski area, you know, a mom isn't even going to want to bring her family to come snowshoeing unless she really knows what the difference is, why it's different, why it's safe, and how it's safe. And so that goes back to where I'm not going to get into those nitty gritty details in all of my advertisements and social posts and things like that. But those details need to be up there and they need to be as specific as possible. And they need to be easy to access, to Shannon's point. And so when people really want to see what is different, how it works, you should be getting into the details. And I don't think that there's any reason to fear that. Especially if you have those established on, you know, on your back end, and that only just creates another layer of certainty from within your organization to make sure that all of your staff are on the same page. If you're getting really detailed with your staff about the protocols and what the safety measures are, there's no reason why you can't then turn around and communicate all those details to your customers, as long as you are holding to those rules within your organization. So it's kind of a double layer of accountability, in my opinion, and you should be as transparent as you can about how hard you're working to keep your ski area open and keep it safe.
Good. Okay. Thank you. That answers it exactly. Let's talk about a couple terms. We mentioned COVID friendly, which I think is a great term. Any comments, Shannon or Holly, on that word alone? Is that a good thing to say, COVID friendly? I think probably safe is not a word we want to use, because nothing ultimately is safe, but COVID friendly to me sounds great. Is that something we could include, Shannon?
We could definitely include that. A part of me is like, does that mean you want COVID? Like, I don't know. But I think for the most part, I think it would be fine. We're going to be using protocols, you know, so, you know, learn about like policies, procedures, and protocols, which is really not fun. But it gets the message apart. Across. So.
Right. Holly. Good. I think you gave that to me earlier today.
Well, the other thing I wanted to add is to speaking to the consumer, and also I think in working with your local media, is tips to enhance your experience. So on the weekends, we know it gets really busy. Like, what are your peak times? So, you know, if you, you know, to help practice social distancing, you know, the busiest times are X. So if you can check in around these, ski midweek, this is a great opportunity to kind of promote your pockets of opportunity versus, you know, jam packing everybody in there. And again, making sure you've got the little footsteps 6 feet apart kind of thing. I realize, you know, making reservations to check in, you know, might be kind of challenging because we don't want to, you know, dissuade people from coming in. But just, you know, how can you make people feel more comfortable within their, when they're checking in, getting equipment and things like that, so they don't show up at 8 o'clock and all of a sudden there's 60 people on a Saturday morning and they're like, whoa, 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 I'm not doing that. We've broken all the codes on groups and all that. So how are you managing check-ins and things like that for equipment and lift passes? And again, it's another opportunity to promote, I think, where you can do punch cards or photo IDs or things like that. So people could just, you're helping them bypass that clogging in to get things and have more hand touching kind of things.
So actually that's a great segue into a couple concepts to discuss. We did a COVID survey months ago now, and one of the questions we asked was about capacity of our ski areas. Do you have additional capacity that you're not using at this point? This was several months ago. And virtually everybody said yes, with the exception of Saturday. I live in a resort community. I know, Shannon, you do. I know, Annalise, you've talked about Park City right now. There are a ton of people, Christy, I'm sure, in Crested Butte also. There are a ton of people right now in all these resort communities. Here where I live in Vermont, people moved up March 15th, and for the most part, they haven't left. They're still here. The elementary schools, public schools, are seeing a significant uptick in new students for this year. And many of the people that I know that commute up for weekends are considering moving up here and commuting back to their original home if their kid is in school for a few days a week. So there's a lot of people that are here. And is there, how would we look at taking business off of that Saturday? We all know that Saturday is the peak everywhere. Is there an opportunity to get people to not be that Saturday skier in a way to positively phrase it so we're getting people off of that massive peak time? And I'll throw that at you, Shannon. Just thoughts on that.
Oh man, that's a big one. Sure, of course there is. The big question is, will people do it, right? So given what Reese just mentioned, which we have definitely seen, I live in Mount Washington Valley. It's near Mount Washington in New Hampshire, in case you know, near Jackson Ski Touring. I think there's going to be opportunity for some midweek family or, midweek millennial skiing. If those people really are relocating and they're now in the mountain towns, they might be more likely to choose a day that's not just Saturday. However, you're going to have to teach them that that's an option. You know, people don't just, like, people are sheep. They're going to do what they always do. And for most people, like, when they go skiing is the weekend, you know? So I think having messaging surrounding the fact that with Nordic skiing, it's not necessarily an entire day. You know what I mean? You could go out and do a quick ski in the morning, you know, so you could talk about like, you know, a rise and shine coffee ski or something like that. So I would recommend if you are interested in getting those people to come midweek, then you definitely need to start thinking about how you can just be creative about reminding people that like Monday through Friday exists basically, and hope that they make some changes. So whether that's programming or hopefully not specials, I know people always try to say discounts, but I don't really think that's a solution. So I think it's just about being creative and then, you know, taking into consideration that there is going to be people who are going to be around midweek who are working remotely still, and you can take advantage of those, that population.
To that point, and Annalise, I think you and I spoke about this yesterday, and Shannon, to your point also about training people, we've now experienced, we've been living this for months now, and I know for me, I think about when I'm going to the post office, what time, I think about when I'm going to the supermarket. Is there any downside to messaging that? And Annalise, I'll throw this at you. Is there any downside to trying to get people off of Saturday by suggesting kind of the less busy times?
I'm sorry. There's a very large wasp in my office that is like circling me.
You get that wasp. I'll go to Holly on that one then.
Sorry, Reese. I was distracted by the wasp. Will you repeat that question?
Yeah. So, Shannon mentioned that we need to train people to do something different. I'm thinking that some of us are already starting that training by looking at when what time you go to the supermarket. Are you going to go Friday afternoon at 4? Probably not. You know, when are you going to the post office? So can we continue that training into getting people to not necessarily come to those super busy times and get them to try other times? Or is there a problem with that messaging that could actually scare people away?
Well, I'm going to go back to, I'm a huge fan of tips. I really am, because I think they're really user-friendly. You can post them anywhere. So, you know, whatever you're going to do is make sure that it's applied on all platforms. So if you're doing a tips to make your experience the most enjoyable, all really positive messaging. There's no buts, there's no ands, there's no negativity in it. It's about, we're here to help you make your experience better, and this is what you can do. And I think that's where you throw it in and you avoid the negativity, you know, in terms of it being, you know, Saturday mornings. Saturdays are our busiest times. You know, if you really want to ski on Saturdays, You know, think about Sundays, or think about coming at 10 o'clock in the morning instead of 8 o'clock in the morning. And so kind of nudge people along to the direction that you want to go. I also saw the chat question from Richard about, you know, off-peak incentives. Absolutely. I mean, make it fun. Do, you know, go, you know, instead of the bar, go cross-country skiing, you know, do happy hour with your girlfriends and start making all of this stuff fun and filling in those voids in your schedule with fun things to do. And, you know, ticketless Tuesday, you know, from 3 to 4 p.m. or whenever there's a huge gap, you know, have people come out and try cross-country skiing for free for an hour, you know, if it's kind of utilizing your staff and helping to bring people into the sport, you know, it's going to start getting momentum, and it's also kind of a give back to the community. I know that that was really big. And I was in Sarasota, Florida when COVID kicked in, was, you know, the tip jar went to help support staff who, you know, were trying to pay their bills, or, you know, or gift cards and things like that. So, you know, get creative. Think about what people did in their quote unquote normal life and make a Nordic application to it. And again, you can share that with the media, you can post it on your website, you can put it in your retail shop, you can email it to your guest list, I mean, your database, and then you're planting the seed about how this can be really fun.
Christy, I know your location is very small and you have limited rental gear, so you have situations where you run out of gear and that person has to come back. What have you used any messaging to try and get your guests off of that peak time? And what sort of success or failure have you had with that?
We haven't done that yet because it's typically just over like the Christmas 2 weeks and then spring break 2 weeks that we encounter those, you know, where we run out of gear. But this year, anticipating even more use, we're seeing the same influx of people moving here to kind of stay for the winter, and with school being unknown, we're expecting that it could be busy from Thanksgiving onward. We are moving to an online rental system that allows us to use both pricing and different time slots and messaging to drive people to the behavior that we're hoping for. So some of these, like, you know, like the tips is really helpful. I think that's gonna be a messaging piece that we hadn't considered yet. So thank you for that. But we are looking at doing slight changes in pricing. Like if a day pass is $20 and a half day would be $18, because everyone still is only gonna ski for 2 hours anyway. But why not drive them towards that behavior that we want to see with just a slight discount? And we do that naturally with our programming as well. So we're just looking to, again, try to have greater control over, because we're not going to be able to allow people into our Nordic Center. So we're going to have all equipment outside for pickup. But that creating that system is creating some opportunity to, again, kind of create those time slots that we need, more weekday. We can still, we might do like a weekday discount sort of thing as well. But again, really small, like $2, but just enough that people are like, oh, well, I'd rather go ski on Tuesday anyway. Great. I'll take that $18 pass. So that's what we're trying to do.
So let's go back to, you know, much like the issue that we have in cross country, between cross country and Nordic, looking at COVID, are we physically distancing or social distancing? Holly? And is there any benefit in coming up with a standard protocol there, because everyone talks about social distancing, but we are social people and our sport is social.
Well, I think in this instance, people understand what social distancing is. It's kind of like the COVID-friendly thing. You can make your own interpretation on it. But I think people naturally now, because of all of the media coverage about it in conversations, is that basically they're saying social distancing is, you know, limiting the size of groups, being cognizant of space, you know, 6 feet apart kind of thing. You know, personally, I don't interpret social distancing as anything but kind of the COVID restrictions. Physical distancing to me seems more negative. Like, I'm going to be physically distanced from people. And it's like, that doesn't, you know, I mean, yeah, it may sound safe, but it's kind of sterile. I think it's where we can put a more positive spin with friendly, nice, happy words versus negative words. Our connotations is always a good path to go. You know, again, we're trying to rewire people's brains. You know, the media has created this incredible germ-phobic fear in us. And everybody used to walk around with the flu and never blink an eye about it and go to work and pass it along to everybody. And now all of a sudden you cough in the grocery store and you're wondering if you're going to get arrested. You know, but so I think, you know, as an industry, if we can put the positive spin on where I call them COVID blessings, about things that benefit us from COVID. And certainly Nordic skiing is one of those blessings. And so be proud of that. You know, we're one of the good things that happened with COVID, because we're wide open spaces. We're about you being out there with your friends and family and people that you know and trust, or just going out by yourself and feeling safe and breathing in great clean air. And you know, all of the statistics show that you build your immunity system through physical exercise and a healthy lifestyle. So, you know, everybody who's COVID phobic right now are a lot the ones that are staying isolated in their homes, not getting exercises, eating too much, and, you know, drinking too much. You saw a statistic that online retail sales went up 345% during the month of March. And that, you know, grocery store liquor sales went up 25%, or average alcohol consumption went up more than 25%. So, you know, become the healthy alternative, become the alternative that people want to pursue instead of the things that they want to stay away from.
Right. Annalise, do you have anything to say on physical distance versus social distance?
Yes. Now that I have somehow got the wasp out.
I hope you're safe.
Really large, and I'm already terrified of bees, so that was a really scary situation. I would agree that there's really not, I don't think that there's much of a special difference per se in your language. I think it's more about what you're saying, rather than kind of choosing a really specific wording. I do think that people have come very acquainted with the term social distancing, and there's nothing wrong with using that. But it's more so about explaining what that means in your ski area and how that is keeping people safe, and what it means to social distance while you're at a cross-country ski area. What does that look like? What does it mean? For example, like Christy said, that there is no lodge and that you're getting your rentals curbside, or you know, I think that's what's going to be important, is really communicating what that looks like, not so much how you say it.
Right, right. So let's move on to kind of creating a communication strategy for this coming year. And I don't know if many of our ski areas have really looked at kind of a strategy across all platforms, but if we were to build one now and we start, actually, Shannon, let me put this to you. What would be those key elements that we want to include in that communication strategy in various different platforms? We've got web, we've got social. What else would be in there?
I think most important is your website. So that homepage, making sure that you have either links to or the information right in front of them. Like I'm talking, they go to your homepage and in 3 to 5 seconds, they can figure out what they need to know to do what they want. So whether that's they already know about your protocols, they want rentals, whatever it is, you need 3 to 5 seconds of them to do that. The second most important is your Google Business listing. That's free to do. Google actually has Google Academy, all these different ways. So you can Google how to use Google if you want. That's huge. I know if I go anywhere, I'm looking at hours if things are open and finding your website or your phone number through Googling it first. Third most important is your social media accounts. And then fourth would be your snow report and your e-blast. And then fifth is once they finally come, it's the humans that your employees that they interact with. So I think.
Okay. So we've discussed having a COVID statement link from your homepage. And I think we've agreed that that will be where you put just about everything, and the rest of your website will be on the positive sides. Holly, you mentioned kind of I love the video ideas, but in that kind of what to expect, we probably haven't spent much time on that historically about what to expect at a cross-country center, but I think it probably makes sense now. What would that, aside from the video, what else, what would that look like? What else would you include in that? Kind of the COVID differences, I guess that also fall into the manage expectations. You know, what are they going to see when they get there?
Well,
it's kind of open-ended.
The easiest thing probably to do is to just walk through your process when people arrive at your Nordic Center resort as a guest, and I agree. I think the COVID protocols, are just the kind of COVID safety measures. You know, in my mind, the what to expect is really kind of geared toward a pretty new Nordic skier or Nordic enthusiast or a new guest. And it might entail a map, you know, depending on how large your resort is. But I think one of the things I was doing a webinar on blogging with realtors, and they were like, you know, how do I get started? And I said, ask your staff, what are the 5 top questions you get asked, and make sure that those are on your website. Because if they're getting asked those questions, and it's a great way to do a blog too, or, you know, tips on what to expect. So again, if you look to the consumer, what are you being asked? What are the calls asking you about? Then make sure that you're addressing those on your website. And information. Yeah, and I would add to that, you know, I'm assuming that you have a pretty large database of people. I don't know if you do e-news or things like that, but in the marketing realm, when we've done various tests, is that you have your, you know, email people, you have your Facebook people, and you have your Instagram people, and then you have Twitter. And so unless you've got celebrities showing up at your resort and you're allowed to talk about them, it's probably not. You need to have probably a Twitter page, but not invest a lot into it. So, you know, appeal to those communication channels because, you know, Reese, as you and I were talking about, you know, particularly older people, and that's, I think, a big part of your audience. They can ski during your off times. They've got discretionary income. They are looking to get outside if they're living or visiting a resort area. You know, they're looking at information coming to them, not going to it to get it. So emails and newspapers, you know, again, are really important. And so just make sure that that isn't being overlooked again. And same with the media. Make sure that whatever you're doing for your consumers is being distributed to the media.
Holly, you brought up 2 interesting things there, and I'm going to take that to Christy. One was, we talked about that visual aspect. So a great piece of your messaging could just be a webcam that just shows happy, peppy people hanging out and skiing and doing that. And so kind of makes it look normal. And also you mentioned blog. There could be a daily update on what happened today at the ski area. Christy, you being a ski area, do you do either of those, either a daily update or do you have a webcam?
We don't have a webcam. We do have a blog and we do a trail report. So that's what we do daily. But we are really looking at upping our video game this winter and really walking people through each step of the process. Even like I'm watching the chat over here. but like we're going to do a video on how to put your boots on in the car, you know, because a lot of, we have three or four different trailheads around town. And so all the locals, like they go to the trailhead, they put their boots on and then they go ski, but just showing people how to do that sort of thing. Like how to sit in your car and put your boots on is really it. but along with all these other things, it's really, really helpful. These are all really great ideas we're getting here. So.
Well, you know, again, and on the video, I think you make a great point, Christy, is that it should be really fun and it should be really short, you know, that it's one tip. It's not 16 grabbed into one. It's like, and then you can start your own, you know, it's kind of like YouTube, you know, you pull up something and you have your own little channel on your site or whatever, post it on YouTube or whatever. But then they just go, you know, video tips. And it's like, oh, okay. I mean, we all take for granted that we know how to put on a pair of ski boots or whatever. And we don't, like, how do these Velcro things work? And, you know, I mean, it seems super obvious, but I had a girlfriend in college who put her ski boots on the wrong foot and skied all day. It's like, and she was a skier. You know, she didn't really even think about it. So, you know, again, I know I'm probably reiterating this a lot, but the more fun we can have with this, we've all had enough bad news and devastation and all that coming into our life. So be the fun alternative, be the fun and healthy alternative. And I think we can be healthy and COVID safe and that those are, you know, all one and the same.
Can I suggest something, Reese?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. So a lot of the Nordic ski cross-country ski areas in New Hampshire are super small and they just frankly don't have the budget to overly discount their already discounted, you know, product, and or there's no way they're hiring a videographer to make videos. So I recommend a little cooperation and, you know, working together. Maybe you guys could collectively, you know, as a state, talk to your state association, see what you could do with a marketing budget to see if you could collect some funds together to create some of those videos. Because there's no real need that every single ski area needs to have these videos. So now more than ever is definitely the time to get together and see what you guys can do collectively. In New Hampshire, our Alpine ski areas and our Nordic ski areas are really coming together. We're talking every single week, preparing for this upcoming season. And I have never seen so much cooperation, and it makes me super proud to be from New Hampshire. But I definitely would recommend starting that process if you haven't already with your whoever would be considered local or in your own state.
We are, to that end, I have asked the PSIA to, they have some good consumer-facing introductory videos. They're about 2 or 3 minutes long. So I've asked them to cut down some of that to just show how to put on a pole strap in 10 seconds with no lead-in, no credits, just simple, and then how to get in the ski boot and how to put your boot in your binding. And again, just trying to create maybe that 20, 30 second revolving clip that you can just show in your rental department. So people as they're waiting can just look at that and go, oh, okay, the hand goes up in here. Because I know many of the rental departments have to walk out with their person who's just rented something, show them how to put it on because they've opted to not take a lesson and they don't know what to do after that. Going back to though, that video, is that something that, you know, I'm a proponent of one hit wonders in any of the videos that I've shot. It's just, here it is. It's simple. I'm not editing. I don't have that skill set. Can you do it with your iPhone? Is that good enough, Holly?
Absolutely. You know, this is not, you know, overly produced stuff. If you've got a iPhone, you've got a video and you can, you know, the important thing is that you're relatively close. They can see you. You're not, you know, some distant person, and get them outside in the natural environment or in your ski shop and just have somebody who's got good charisma and, you know, feels comfortable in front of a camera. And, you know, this does not have to be overly done. You know, I've started a whole channel and running coaching, and even the nicest ones most of them are shooting from iPhones.
Right, right. And actually, Megan had a great idea, just saw in the chat, that engage your local community. Do you have a high school that has a video department, or anyone else who may have that skill? We just have a few minutes left. Let's move on to community messaging. So let's say you got your website, you've got it. What are the key pieces of what you want to do within your local community to keep your locals happy? And Christy, I'll throw that at you first. You know, what have you guys done there in Crested Butte to message to your locals, your people that lived there? Well, now a lot of people do, but the original locals.
Yeah, well, for us, we're just reminding people, because we were a bit of heroes this past winter. Like, we really were the only game in town. And by staying open, we kept everyone sane. So we're reminding people that we were there last winter, that we're going to be there this winter. And that, you know, what we did in our community is, once we were on total lockdown, we only had like 3 or 4 weeks left in the season, and we made all our passes pay what you can. And we did the same for rentals. And so, you know, the message there is that, you know, we took a chance on the community by doing that. And we're hoping that the community will show up for us now, basically by buying season passes. But I think for other places, it's just saying like, hey, this is, I would make sure that you can, I would work with your county to get approval so that in the event of a lockdown, you are still an essential service and can continue at least to groom. And then you can give people the assurance that no matter what, we will be here and we will be grooming trails. And this is something you can do safely on your own. Although I don't use the word safe either. But so that's really our message to the community. And we have had a lot of support from our government that we're going to be essential to the mental health and well-being of our community if things are restricted in any way, shape, or form this winter, which, again, we got hit pretty hard. And so we're anticipating, there's a lot of talk here about lockdowns this winter and ski resorts not opening, and we're concerned. No one knows what it's going to look like yet. So we're just really focusing on the fact that Nordic is going to be here for you. And, you know, like, buy your season pass now.
Great. Shannon, anything you would add to that in your community? Like, you mentioned what New Hampshire is doing. What other community outreach would be successful?
Sure. Beyond just talking to your local government, make sure you're
I'm thinking more geared right towards the people that are in town, you know, like talking to your hotel establishments and your restaurants and getting them to know more about what's going on. I think that's a overlooked opportunity that many don't take advantage of.
Definitely. Well, I recommend picking up the phone, which is not something I ever like to do, but I'll suggest it anyways. Or if you feel like it's appropriate, you know, go and make an appointment to actually talk face-to-face with those people. I'm a former teacher, so I definitely strongly believe in, you know, taking the time to interact, you know, in human form with the people so that they can ask you the questions. But you're going to also want some sort of handout or one sheet, something that these people can post in their offices or different things. So if you're talking about a hotel specific, they might have 5 different front desk people. So it's going to be super tough to keep, you know, all of their employees on the same page. But if you could come up with some sort of like cheat sheet that you could bring around beyond just talking with the general manager or whomever to make that, you know, introduction, break the ice, if you would. I would definitely recommend doing that. And then don't forget you did that, and then update it as needed, because obviously the situation is pretty darn fluid. So
right.
I recommend something like that.
Awesome. Annalise, would you have anything to add to that in terms of just community outreach?
Yeah, that's. I think those are all actually really great points made by everyone. I would say, you know, here in Utah too, we probably are going to be leaning on our locals more than ever. And really something that I really like messaging wise is that we're getting back to the heart of skiing, like why people originally went out and skied. It wasn't for the lodges. It wasn't for the fancy drinks. It wasn't for the special boot fitting. It wasn't for the $1,000 private lesson. It was to go out and spend time with friends and family outside in our beautiful mountains. And so I think finding a way to you know, reconnect with your community about that original heart of skiing, and maybe even string the heart chords a little bit with some nostalgia and things like that that make people just want to get outside with their family and enjoy the outdoors. And I think that completely applies to cross-country skiing as well. My favorite way to do that is with video. That I do think, you know, like you guys are saying, explaining how to put on your ski boots, basic things like that, that should be done really easily. I think if you really want to do a nostalgic community play on the heartstrings, come back to the heart of skiing message, I think you should hire someone and do it really nicely and really well. But I really like leaning back on that messaging, because that's the reason we all started alpine and cross-country skiing. And so why not embrace that and encourage your community to embrace that as well and come out and be a part of a different year.
Awesome. All right, well, we're at our time. I know this conversation could go on forever. There's so much more. And I'm sure we will come back as we get into the fall and revisit messaging again. But I'd like to thank our presenters, Christy from Crested Butte, Shannon from Ski New Hampshire, Annalise from Ski Utah, and Holly from Imagica. Thanks very much, and thanks to all of you for spending the last hour with us. We will have our next call in 2 weeks. The subject is still to be determined, but we will let you all know early next week. So thank you all. I hope you get out and enjoy some of this beautiful weather we're having here in the East. And I look forward to talking to you guys again soon. Thanks again.
Thanks, Reese. Bye.